Welcome. Has it really been a week of LCA?
I was just thinking.
Not for me, so I'm ready for another 2 days. Maybe not. Welcome, everybody, for making it through the week. Certainly sure you've all had a great time, just as we have, for the time we've been here. So, we've got a few things to get through in this session. Lots of, saying thank you to peoples, and we've got a few competitions that we've got to hand out prizes for. But we'd like to start out with one very important thing. And I'd like to invite Jeff Orr up to talk to you about it. Something that's going to be happening next week.
Good morning, freedom lovers. You may have noticed that I'm not quite as enthusiastic as usual. That's because I'm conserving my energy for a pretty big fight. And those of you from Australia certainly know what I'm talking about. Those of you from overseas will hopefully get a picture of, a dim, dark future. Legislation for the mandatory imposed internet censorship policy of the Labor government will be introduced in February. Not February next year, but February next month. The reason why there's a huge amount of activity and protest about this at the moment is that the technical viability report was released just before Christmas last year. Kind of the take out the trash PR strategy so that no one could get up and make a big noise about it. That bugged me a little bit. And I realized that, despite screwing us by releasing it just before Christmas, that we had a wonderful opportunity around the corner to remind everyone why Australia is awesome and why we should not impose internet filtering. What's the problem? It's pretty straightforward. The internet filter won't protect children. This is probably stuff that most of you know, but it's all about the refuse classification content. That's what Minister Conroy says. And refuse classification content includes things that are already illegal and a whole bunch of stuff that you're allowed to own, you're allowed to distribute, you're just not allowed to put it on TV or in books. And those are the sorts of things that the OFLC, our classification organisation, will say, now you're not allowed to show this movie in Australia. Doesn't do anything about porn, doesn't do anything about, naughty ads, anything like that. It's not the kind of thing that is going to make parents feel that the internet is safer for their children. We will all pay already. We've spent about $80K on this filtering report. Hundreds of millions of dollars are likely to be spent on administering the system and putting it in place. ISPs will have to implement it. That will make our internet access more expensive. If you have an American sitting next to you, tell them how much your monthly ADSL bill is and watch them puke. Everyone in this room is likely to pay because if an English-speaking democratic country, Western country, implements this kind of thing, it will be used as an opportunity for other countries to look at it more seriously, and it will be used as an excuse, and already has, by countries like China that are doing this themselves. It also sets a dangerous precedent. Once we have this system in place, we don't know what will happen next in terms of the public whims of what's appropriate. That may affect what is refused classification content, and certainly a future government may decide to expand the role of the filter beyond refused classification content into other sorts of things, such as online political speech and so on. What can we do? First thing, it sounds cheesy, but it is the most crucial thing you can do. Write to your MP. Write politely. Ask them difficult questions. There's a fantastic article by Bernard Keane in Crikey. You'll be able to find it very easily via Google about how to write to your MP and how to make their staff do extra work in order to answer your question. Rather than being able to send back a form letter, you can actually make them do work because they're required to answer certain questions, stuff like that. So do that. Make sure you do that. Sign the EFA's Senate petition. The EFA is gathering signatures for a petition. They already have 3,000 signatures. They want to be able to introduce that on the floor of the Senate. There are senators who support this and who will who are likely to table it. So please sign that and spread the word. That's what the Great Australian Internet Blackout Project is all about. It's supported by the EFA. It's not just some random thing. We do actually have some organisational support behind it. It's the week of Australia Day. That's next week. First thing, blackout your online profile picture. So everyone here, tap, tap, tap. Turn your Twitter avatar black. You can use, there's a Twibbon for it, and you can do something creative yourself. Just make sure you make it dark or black. Go into Facebook, make sure your Facebook profile picture is dark. The important thing about social media is that we make sure all of the people that we know on the net know about this, get it out. I've seen so many Facebook conversations, someone saying, hey, why is your avatar black? That really sucks. Are you a goth now? And then a little bit of education going on. People saying, well, it's all about this censorship thing. Whoa, what? Censoring the internet? That sucks. I'm going to do it too. And so on and so forth. Thousands of profile pictures are already blacked out. Heaps and heaps of people using the Twibbon on Twitter, which is a nice little way to count it. Black out your sites next week. For the whole week next week, sites around the net will be blacking out for the Great Australian Internet Blackout. 200 sites have already pledged, including some interestingly big ones. Certain senators will be blacking out their websites. The great thing is that that's just what's happened in the last little while. As soon as the blackout starts next week, more people will find out about it. They'll see it on other people's websites and they'll do it themselves. So by the end of the week, we should have many, many, many. No noisy street protest? This is a focus on education. People don't understand the abstract ideas of freedom. We've learned that through open source and software freedom. We need to educate people why this is a bad idea. On the face of it, censoring the internet, just like books and TV, which is what Minister Conroy says, sounds like it makes a lot of sense. And parents go, oh, yeah, I don't want my kids, you know, finding boobies on the internet. That's terrible. That's not what this does. That's not what this is going to solve. We want to focus on positive engagement, actually getting involved in the political process rather than having a little bit of a tanty on the street holding signs and dressing up in manga costumes and expecting people to take us seriously. Doesn't tend to work. Plus, it's bridging the energy of all of the people who understand this sort of issue, internet users and civil rights folks who care about the internet, to bridge to the general public. Why going black on websites and changing a Twitter avatar? Why is that useful? Well, it gets the words out there, plus it's a nice gimmick that media organisations can pick up and use. Cheesy forms of online protest can be effective. It sounds like just a token thing to do on the internet, but who's seen this work before? So thank you to all of my New Zealand friends who got involved in this. It's been the inspiration for what we're doing this week. And we hope we can do the same thing. We hope we can get media organisations covering it. We hope we can get a lot of people understanding what the issue is based on massive online action bridged to offline action. We have good media coverage so far, and there's more coming next week. There's all sorts of interviews and things like that, various TV appearances sorted out for next week. So that will be a really great thing to bridge the awareness. And we also have great industry and political support, which will become evident next week. I'm not really going to say anything about it now. More activity equals more impact. So change your avatars, set up your websites, make sure your friends know about it, tell your parents, make sure your mom knows why this is not about boobies on the internet. Please go to internetblackout.com.au to get all of the little bits and pieces that you need, like pictures and stuff like that, and find out all the stuff that you need to know about contacting your MPs and stuff. Go back to Australia this weekend, set up your websites, and enjoy the blackout next week. It's going to be awesome. Thank you.
Kiwis might not know that the Department of Internal Affairs has run a pilot doing exactly this, filtering the internet for New Zealand citizens. And they ran a trial with a couple of ISPs several years ago and now are proposing to roll it out as an option for all ISPs, because I'm sure many ISPs want to be known as the one that doesn't filter child porn. There will be only moderate take-up. No, there's going to be large take-up because it's framed in such a way that's difficult to say no. But for exactly the same reason, it's a bad idea. It's technically not good to let the government sit between you and the great content on the internet. So at Internet New Zealand, we're fighting that. Yay, we sponsor. The URL's on the poster there. And there's also a group called Tech Liberty that you can Google for. And they are a Kiwi group keeping very detailed records, making lots of Official Information Act requests, trying to get to the bottom of what's going on there. It's technically not a good idea, and as per the Australian one, it won't actually make the children feel any safer or indeed be any safer online. Thank you.
Certainly important stuff, so yeah, check it out and support the movements. Right, on with the show. Something that we've got to do that's very important, and that is thank our very valuable sponsors. Without these guys, we would not be here today. So thank you, Internet NZ. Google. I did push the button, honest. HP. IBM. Also, our lower level sponsors are equally as valuable. So, Intel, Catalyst, thank you. Red Hat, Canonical, Aggressive, and Anchor. I won't say them all. And our supporting partners who have helped out in all sorts of little ways. In particular, I'd quite like to thank FX Networks, who have given us the bandwidth to satisfy your wants this week. I should also say Citylink for providing CafeNet and the wireless around the venue.
Another important group of people to thank are our speakers. I'd like all our speakers who are here in this room to stand up, please, so we can see you and thank you personally. Stand up. Thank you very much for everything that you do for LCA. The talks I hear were fantastic. I only managed to make it to Rusty's for 15 minutes, but we did get to see some live streaming in the organisers' room, and what I saw was fantastic. People come to LCA to hear the talks, so it is about our speakers, so thank you very much.
We thought we'd give out a little prize for what we thought was the best of lightning talk. Had a little chat with Nat and got his input on it, and we'll think about ourselves. And Mark Osborne, would you please come up here? Now, you probably can't share this with any of your students, but thank you.
An appropriate bottle of wine.
Thank you.
Now, we heard a little rumour. There was a Duino mini-conf on Monday, and the little rumour was that there were two people who got burnt during their Duino mini-conf by the soldering irons. So we have two little prizes. We would like the two people to come up here, please. Whoever you are.
Go Will you
on,
admit
don't
it?
Be shy. I spoke to St. John's. I know they're here. Don't be shy. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Come on. Yeah.
Come on. Come on up on the stage.
Okay, that's one.
Yeah, just keep it hidden for now. Wait just a minute. Where is the other? Don't let me hunt you down. Who was at the Arduino mini-conf? Hey, shove hands. Right. All of you are witnesses. Who got burnt? John? John by proxy. Jonathan Oxer? Oh, God, Jonathan. It was your mini-conf.
No, by proxy.
Oh, by proxy. Yes, of course. Right. All right. Jonathan Oxer, come on up. By proxy. Quentin? I'm going to give you one. Going once. Going twice. I think Jonathan Oxer is appropriate to come up here. So come on up, Jonathan Oxer. We'll give you the prize. Come stand in the middle a little bit.
Only for burning one person. Who will admit it?
Oh, okay, thank you. We've just found out where the second burn victim is, and we'll have to bring him out a little bit later on. But Jonathan, it was your mini-conf.
Yes, it was my fault. I'm so sorry.
I had St. John's on standby. They were
the
knacks.
The door. It was really convenient.
There was a reason for that.
No, no, we've learned not to trust people with sovereign eyes.
I will get, first off, just from me. This one for the burn victim.
Safety equipment.
And I'll take one of these. I'll take one of these. And this one for Jonathan Oxer for making sure the burn victims were okay.
Thank you.
The second burn victim has not been let off lightly, so do not let me forget. We have yet another pair of gloves for them.
Now, I'd just like to do a quick shout-out of thanks to Catalyst. They provided me a huge amount of support over the last 18 months. Let me spend a lot of time working on the conference, going out to meetings, all that kind of stuff. And they also provided Suzanne a desk for about 3 months so she could sit near me and pester me to make sure I did things for her.
Have you done the network plan? Have you done the network plan? Have you done the network plan?
Yeah, I'll get to it. I did do it.
I'd also like to thank them personally as well for the desk, but also to give us the time off for the interwebs that was on the computer that was on the desk, the phone that was on the desk, for the printing that was on. You get the general idea. The Catalysts have been wonderful. They've also given us our team a meeting room that we used quite regularly over the last 18 months. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Catalyst. We really appreciate your support. Okay. Now, the next very, very, very important people to thank is our team, who we could not have done it without them. So we'd like our team to come up here, please, for everyone to give them a round of applause. Captain Gwell, come on up. Now, as you all know, there were 2 days, or two and a half technically, that Andrew and I could not be here, and there were two people in particular who really, really stepped up and took on a hell of a lot of work for us. They filled our shoes, and they filled them so well that, honestly, when we came back, we just let them carry on.
It was great!
We got them a little special thank you gift, and we'd just like to give that to them now. So Glenn and Jane Foster, please step forward. We couldn't have done it without you. Thank you so much. So thank you, guys. Thank you very much. You're off the hook now, guys. You can go back. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Now, it's not only the team that make this happen. It's also all the helpers that help out during, you know, both last week and this week.
These helpers on this slide are the ones that we just could not live without. All our helpers are our unsung heroes of the event, but these ones really went the extra mile, and would like, if your name is on that slide, to please come up now onto the stage. Come on up. Come on, there's more of you. Come on up. Now, a little run through while they're getting their bottle of wine of thanks. Kirsty Bartlett was our volunteers manager. She did a sterling job. Ian Beardsley was everything from technician to network to helper to everything. So he was amazing. Mark Foster is our truck driver. He's the reason Shwag got here, and he's the reason we'll be able to pack out on Sunday. Bernard, he spent a whole week with us before LCA, and he didn't get sick of us, and he still spent a whole week helping. Kieran Rodriguez, Jay Anderson, Sam Cannell, I've spoken to Erin and to Rob Coop, who tell me that you guys were the sterling volunteers who really, really helped. Graham Ruthven, my father-in-law, who got the wine from the evening events.
And to the evening events.
And to the evening events, and helped entertain Brooke and Adam. Erin and Steve, by God, we can't list what you guys have done. Thank you. Everything. Andrew Caldwell from Catalyst, he was the one who made the little schedule.
And if you've seen the heads-up display down in the foyer above the registry desk, that's his work.
Graham Lauder, various airport pickups, speaker workshop, technical stuff, AV. Richard Naylor, Jeremy Naylor, they are the AV team. Particular thanks to them. And Gemma from Multimedia. You have done a sterling job, and we are so pleased. We have heard you've been amazing. So thank you, thank you, thank you. So thank you, all of you.
There was just a call saying that there was wine coming out the back. Lennox Australia, thank you for entrusting LCA to us.
You fools!
It's been a blast. Thank you very much. This is the council that is just about to step down. I believe there's a small matter of finding the minutes from the previous annual general meeting, but I'm sure they'll get them. Thank you very much, guys, and thank you for your support over the last year. It's been fantastic.
There are also the ghosts of conference past. There are so many of you now, but these were the ghosts of conference past that really made a difference to us. These are the ones that we could not have done at LCA without. They are the ones that gave us the pearls of wisdom that we now have. And that what is what made RCA run so smoothly. So thank you, guys. It's been great. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, there was one small matter on Monday which kind of caused a few people to get a little bit concerned, and that was the streaming format. So We know that it was WMV. Richard and Jeremy did try and get it into an open stream in time for the conference, but unfortunately it didn't quite happen. But thank you to the team of people that got together and provided an open format streaming for us. Sylvia and everybody else.
Please come on up. We have something for you. Sylvia, come on up. Come on forward. Don't be shy now.
I think there's a few more people who helped.
I think there are two. Sylvia, we'll give you a little something to hand out
you.
To your team of people who are too shy to
a
come.
A penguin. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'd like to say, sorry, before you clap. Oops, I get two. Obviously, I need to find another friend. I think there was a few more people helping. Yeah, okay. Thank you. I just like to say I only wrote the blog post. So
oh, take that off to them.
Give it to them. They deserve it. So the people who really did the work, John was actually involved as well. John was setting up virtual machines. Jan here was writing the GStreamer script. Ralph was putting it up together as well. Where's the other Jan? Jan Gerber, where are you? You really should be coming up as well, because it's your server that's been, was the first one to run. Come on, get up here.
Come on up. Everybody drinks wine, come on up.
So I suppose that's the core. You can have what I don't deserve.
I was only joking.
I'm very happy that you're very supportive of this effort. We really wanted to just add on to what the great work that you were doing, because we want to support open formats. It's really important. Otherwise, we end up in a proprietary world, and this is not what we want. But I should not be taking up your time here. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Sylvia. Thanks, Guy.
And just to confirm that when the recordings are made available, they will be in open formats.
The next very important people to thank are you. You are the reason we did this. So thank you. It wouldn't have been RCA without any delegates. Be pretty boring and pretty quiet and echoey in this room. This is Glenn Foster. You've already met our wonderful, wonderful man that took over. He's just going to talk to you about the puzzle.
The puzzle. So I guess most of you will figure out it is actually a puzzle and not just a separate of random sort of QR codes, but we've had about 30 people do pretty well. Most people sort of figured out how to decode it, whether they got their cell phone out or used some of the web online apps, but you got a string. And it wasn't until the sort of next day that I sort of gave you a sort of subtle hint that you should check common file formats, and you know, you might sort of see patterns that you recognize, and maybe if we reverse the string, it'll become a little bit clearer. 1F8B, what could that be? Well... For 30 people, they actually found that it was a gzip format. And unzipping it, got another string. And that one, well, that probably required a little bit of work, but, you know, hey, it's a geek conference, so all your bases belong to us. But once they got through that, so base64 decode, they got a random coordinate, which for a lot of people may have only got to in the middle of the ocean. Fortunately, we're in Wellington, New Zealand, so, you know, 30 people put, you know, two and two together and got a, whoops, hang on. Let's try closer to home. and got a location in Oriental Bay. You can ignore the A, that stumped a few people. Number 12 Heard Street. Blame Google for that one. But if we sort of zoom in, we get a down in the wharf, there is a platform, and under the platform, there is Steve pointing at a location. And the rat trap is not the location, in case you ever wondered. That was a decoy. And oh, unfortunately, it's pretty bad, the picture, but the cache was indeed there. So we had 30 people, including a rather large syndicate to start off with, who managed to put their name on the piece of paper that was inside the cache, and they will go into a draw to see the winner of the ray gun. So I'm going to ask Andrew and Suzanne to pick the winner and take it from there.
Jamie Sharp, are you here?
Awesome, come on down. So he wins the ray gun and the book that is actually signed by the creator who works in Weta Workshop of the ray gun. And enjoy.
That's very good.
And we'll be taking a photo of that later on, hopefully. It's incredibly heavy.
Come to the knock after this.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Congratulations.
We hope you guys had fun deciphering that little puzzle. We had fun putting it together.
Next slide.
Okay.
Now we have Jane Foster, our other amazing person who took over, who's going to be talking to you about the photography competition.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, I've got to say, on Tuesday, we were a little bit worried because we had two entries and the weather wasn't so good, and we were thinking, oh, I hope that people want to get into the competition and get out and about and around Wellington, which was the whole purpose of the competition. We had four quadrants, Cuba, Courtney, Lambton and the waterfront, and we hoped that a lot of you would enjoy getting out and around and seeing each of the different quadrants. And certainly things picked up, and we had about 270 entries in the end. They will all eventually go online once they've been properly attributed. And we do have the 20 finalists already online on the website, actually, under News or Media News 159, if you want to go and have a look at the 20 finalists. Now, we had purposely kept the judges quiet, so there was no bribery involved. We had two judges. Amy McCarran, who can't be here, and she's a local artist who actually in 2008 was nominated for the New Zealand Open Source Awards for promoting New Zealand artists using open source. So we thought she would be a good fit with LCA, and she certainly provided a lot of input, and we managed everything with her in this competition online. We have also here our other judge, Andy Fitzsimons. Now, I don't know if many of you know Andy, but I hadn't met him before this week. I asked Andrew McMillan, the most poetic of our committee, what I could say about Andy to introduce him. He said, "Andy Fitzsimons is made of awesome." Here comes the poetry. He sprinkles pixie dust onto pixels like the good fairy of graphic design. So that's what he came up with. So I'd just like to invite Andy to come up. Now, we've got some prizes here. We have a spot prize. We have a runner-up prize, which is a digital photographic frame, which will be loaded with all the photos of the competition. Has been loaded with all the photos from the competition. And we also have a lomography camera as well, and film. And this has all been sort of sponsored by Wellington Photographic. And I know a few of you have popped in there this week, so that's all appreciated as well. They've been a great sponsor and supporter. So, Where are you, Andy?
Right here.
Yep, so if we can just see the finalists. These were our 20 finalists for the competition. And as I say, we had 270 photos submitted and five finalists each day. So I'll just hand over to Andy so he can announce the runner-up.
Okay, sure. Thank you very much for that more than flattering introduction. Andrew, is it because we have the same name? I'm not sure. I arrive in Wellington and I get an email saying, Andrew, would you like to judge the photography competition? I'm not from Wellington. I'm just a visitor here. But I look out the window and I see rain and clouds, and it was 1 a.m. at night. And I kind of thought, I'll give anyone a prize if they take a photo. but if you've been lucky enough to go outside during months, I know I've been. If you've been lucky enough to go outside during this whole conference, which I've been trying to keep myself in here because there's been too many interesting talks, you'll notice that we had Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday with the most amazing weather. I live in China, and I tell you what, you cannot buy this. It's absolutely beautiful. So the entries, they peaked around Wednesday. We were more than overwhelmed with the amount of work we had to do to properly evaluate every single piece. Now, the dynamic between me and Amy, the other judge, is I would analyze things, give them the technical, geeky elements, principles of design, kind of rundown, how hard was this to accomplish, whether or not, you know, this shot as a photographer would have been a really impressive thing. And then Amy gave the local perspective, saying whether or not this was meaningful. And there was a lot of debate to and from, and it was always constructive, and it was absolutely a lot of fun. And I've got to say, I'm so jealous, not just for the technical ability of all the people in this audience and how much I envy that, but for the opportunities and the shots and the things you experienced and the things you captured. It really is an honor to be able to have seen that and not even know your name up until right now. So for everybody who got in, and even just about absolutely everybody who didn't get in, you did a good job, a really, really, really good job. And it's, you know, it's good to be a geek, right? Runner up. So I'm going to announce the runner up. And this was announced based on technical merit, accomplishment as a really good photographer, and something that I know, because it's Creative Commons license, once I go back home, I'll be getting it printed on large format and putting it in my room, seriously. So, okay. Gabal, are you here? Gabal, hello? This projector doesn't do it justice, but this photo and the shot, it captures everything from suburban Wellington all the way down to the entertainment district. The lighting is so amazingly well set up. It's done over such a long exposure that I don't know how he managed to keep it so sharp, but everybody should be setting this as their desktop wallpaper for the next 2 months, at least.
Hell yes.
Fantastic. Congratulations, man. And the winner. Now, I'm an Aussie. I love larrikinism. I love being able to look at something and seeing something that isn't quite there. But this is also a brilliant shot for technical purposes, for preparation, and also for the meaning behind it. This is one of the photos that I spent about an hour and a half on Wikipedia just trying to figure out why it was so awesome. not because I didn't think it was, but because I needed to do it justice. Can we bring the photo up? Mike Beattie, are you here? The sculpture here is by an artist at Weta, and it's actually called Reflection. The sculpture, the guy, he has his eyes closed, and the artist says it's not about the reflection in the water, it's about the reflection in yourself. It's a very deep and thoughtful piece, but then there's someone doing a backflip, which is awesome. He set up the shot. The guy's not actually doing a backflip off where the statue is mounted, although you can't tell the difference here. But this says everything about what Wednesday was like in Wellington that day. So congratulations, mate. It was a really good, fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, so we also have a spot prize. We're very lucky to have photographers present at the conference. And when you take a photo at LCA, you're sharing our culture, and that's really awesome that this stuff gets out. So we have the spot prize. We have Lee Bag. Is there a photo? No? Here we are. Okay, so we have the penguins. You can't quite see them here. But there's something to be said about capturing penguins during LinuxConf, right? No? That's very cool.
See the little blue.
These are the little... And these are the little blue penguins. So, good on you, mate. Cheers.
I cheated. It was about 2 months ago.
He's gone. Too late, man. All right, congrats. Either way.
Excellent. Look, I just wanted to thank Andy and Amy. She can't be here today. Thank you very much, Andy, for judging the competition and putting so much thought into why the winners won. And I just wanted to thank everyone who participated and put in a photo. Really got into the spirit of it, and it really made it such a great competition. So thank you to all of you who entered, and thank you again to Wellington Photographic for sponsoring.
We've got a few spot prizes that we want to give out. We have some books. Thank you, A-Press. So what we're going to do is just call out a few names.
Do you want me to call you?
Yeah. How about we do that?
I will be your lovely assistant. I have a list of names here, randomly selected from our awesome little random selector thing on Zookeeper. So can we get some of these books out here?
What we'll do is we'll just put out a selection of A-Press books, and you get to come up and pick one. First in, first served. So the options we've got here are Pulling Strings with Puppet, Expert Shell Scripting, Automating Linux and Unix System Administration to Get Out of a Drop, ProGit, Practical Arduino, Beginning GIMP, okay, Pro Linux System Administration, that's a book, and Pro Open Solaris. Yep. First name.
Steve Baker. Come on up. There he is.
And we'll talk to all of you.
Gordon Stanton. Come on up. David Sterling. Come on up.
Oh, it's gone. Practical Arduino.
Just got a free Arduino and a free...
David Howell. Sharon Griffith, Andrew Gordon, Paul Delafanti. All of you come on up. Jim Cheatham, Steve Borens, Brett Morgan. Come on up as well.
Have a book.
Shane Geddes, Paul Waper, and Jacinta Richardson, coming up as well.
They're going fast. Shall we stop there or keep going?
There are three left. Is there anyone's name called out who hasn't come up? Okay, I'll call out three more names. Andy Caldwell, Thomas Gilligan,
and Tim Ickern. Come on up. There's one. There's two. Where's my third? Tim.
It's taken.
Tim Ackern, is that you? Sorry about the pronunciation. Yes, that's right. Come on up. Hello. Hear it?
Now, are you a Git user?
Yes, I am.
Oh, excellent. Well done. Enjoy.
Congratulations, guys. Now, while we were organising LCA, we got a couple of emails sent in from delegates, which we just thought was hilarious. The first one, and warrants a little something, the first one read, when we send things out, I sent out a dietary requirements email, and my email said, dietary requirements is a heading. In registry, you have noted a dietary requirement of, language of course, vegetarian. For health and safety reasons, please let me know how you react when you eat the above foods, how severe the reaction is, and what medical attention you need, if any, should a reaction occur. If you've already told us this information, then please ignore this message, which obviously doesn't fit with vegetarian. And this is the response that we got back from a particular person, which I'll say the name shortly. When I eat vegetarian food, I develop a warm glow of satisfaction. Severity depending on the deliciousness of said food. The best medical treatment is to take in fluids. Either water or malt-based drinks are fine. So Philip Rowlands, if you come on up, I've got something for you. Come on up. One said malt-based drink. I don't know how to say this because I'm not actually a whiskey drinker myself. Chivas Regal.
Wow. I was thinking of beer.
Enjoy.
Thank you for making us laugh hysterically.
The other one is some people might remember. We sent out a little thing about the power in New Zealand, saying it's 240 volts. We got caught out on this, and we got corrected about the fact it's actually 230 volts, plus or minus 6%.
I can guess your name.
Close enough. So, would Russell Stewart please come up? We have a little prize for you.
Russell Stewart, come on up. Come on up. Don't be shy. Don't be shy.
So the prize we have is suitably appropriate for a correction about power requirements.
Come on up.
Your prize.
Congratulations.
Now, Rossi Russell has asked us to give a little pep talk for a group that he's trying to develop further, and that is the Adelaide Hackers. Basically, he wants any FOSS hackers in and around Adelaide to get in touch with him so that he can try and set up a regular meeting so you guys can all sit down and hack. So please drop an email, check out the website, which is on our wiki page at the moment, and hopefully you guys can go from there and set something up awesome. Now, here's something I'm sure everybody in this room has been waiting for. I know I've been waiting for it.
It really is the closing. Who wants to know who's winning? Where is it? I'm definitely not doing it again this year. A moment of suspense.
That one. Coming out 2011.
Guys, it's Brisbane. I think you've got that. It's not Sydney, it's not the Daintree, it's not the Barossa. It's Brisbane, and it's going to be a fun event. As you can see, it was about 3 days before Christmas. Not a printer to be found, no artwork in sight, because everyone has gone on holidays. But we're here. This is Brisbane 2011. We are the team. I'll just go through the team, let you know who we are. There's some still in the audience here. We have up the front here holding a poster. We've got Matthew and Mark. We've got, starting at this end, Jared, James, Clinton, Russell, and Marco.
And by Rusty's mow and Bedell's beard, this will be the best LCA yet.
And our leader is Sean.
We hope. It's been a good 3 weeks or 3.5 weeks. But basically, 3.5 weeks ago, or 4 weeks today, we decided, crap, what are we going to do? How do we market Brisbane? How do we sell Brisbane? What do we do? Is it our beautiful weather? Or maybe just the friendly natives? Good question. Or is it just the weather? But looking at this for December, I think we've chosen a good spot because it's the coolest time of the year. Not. But seriously, Brisbane is a great place. It's going to be fun. It's not just a wonderful place, though. LCA is going to be awesome. Absolutely awesome. I'm going to drop that word in a few times and you're going to hate it by the end of the day. But it's a place where things are happening. It's a growing city. It's a new city. Brisbane is a wonderful place. But just having LCA in Brisbane, it might be an awesome place, but there's more to an LCA than just being in a wonderful place. It's about the people. The talks. And having a good time. And it will be a good time. What we've got is a little website for you to visit. followtheflow.org. We want you to log on. We want you to go to the website. We want to gather as many ideas to make this the best LCA ever. Not taking the thunder away from this year's LCA, though. But it's going. We want it to be the best. We want your ideas. In Brisbane in 2002, the last time we held a conference, we introduced mini-cons. We introduced a lot of things to the conference and made it what it is today. And next year, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to introduce a few new things we've got up our sleeves. So we want you there. We want to hear your ideas and get it out to us. There's a, on the web page, that's awesome. We want you to click on that awesome part. We want you to give us your ideas. It's a little form, nothing complex, but what we're doing, we are going to have some prizes. We're going to be giving away some professional attendees to that conference. So you can win yourself a professional registration by going to that website, and we will choose, a panel of us will choose the best ideas, and you will get a chance to win a professional member or registration. There are terms and conditions, just read it. But seriously, 3.5 weeks, we had no logo, we had no graphics, we're still working on logo, but we're getting there slowly. We've got some great helpers. It's amazing what can happen at 4 a.m. in the morning after a professional networking session like last night. We now have a website, which we didn't have yesterday. That was great. We have a presentation, which we didn't have. We even got a poster, which we got an hour ago. So if we can do that in 3.5 weeks, imagine what we can do by next year. The aim is to have this conference in February, beginning of February next year, a little bit cooler. So we've yet to book in the dates and ever confirm those, but at this stage it's looking like the beginning of February. It will be held at Queensland University of Technology, and again we're locking all those sorts of things in now. With the Christmas period, we've found it a little bit difficult to confirm things because people, I don't know, they have holidays. Yeah, I know. I thought the same. It's when we don't switch our computer on. Okay, what we'd like to do, though, is just thank those people that have helped. Andy Fitzsimon, if you're out there somewhere, I know you. Thank you again for helping us so far with the graphics and stuff, and we've got more work for you yet. Don't disappear to China just yet. Thank you to the rest of the team here, because the team has been working long nights. We've argued and discussed things. Russell decided to sit up till 6 a.m. this morning doing something on a website. Not quite sure what yet, but it's looking good. Thanks to the sponsors so far. We've got Brisbane Marketing, which has helped us with some of the video and some of the other resources. Thanks to Humbug, our local Linux group in Brisbane. Thank you to QUT, who's giving us quite a lot of venue sponsorship. And I'm sure the list is going to grow larger, but especially a great thanks to the Ghosts and this year's LCA team, because without them we wouldn't have even got that poster. So thank you, guys. It's been great. So guys, on the way out... I won't even say that. I'll skip that. Visit the website, give us your feedback. We want suggestions. We're going to make it the best conference ever. And we're going to have new ideas. We've got a great motivated team, so do that now.
Thank you, guys. Now, I just realised that we hadn't forgot to give out one prize. This morning, I mentioned a hidden puzzle on your memory sticks. One person. Sorry? Oh, Wednesday. All the days blur into one.
We're just a little bit tired.
One person came up to me and said, huh, I wonder, is it related to this barcode on the back of this booklet, which had to be on your memory stick? Oh, actually, not this booklet, it was a similar one. Saying, I tried to use a whole heap of different barcode scanners, and it didn't work with any of them, because it's not actually a barcode. Now, a few people have spotted it since then, and it's actually Morse code. I'll leave it to the rest of you to work out what it actually says. But, Mike.
Mike Beattie, come on up.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Now, we have a little something for you. We're going from Morse code to the future. Have a voice over IP phone.
Now, Stuart Smith, I believe you have some words to say. I'm just watching the time and we're getting very close to the penguin dinner, so we'll be watching the time closely now.
So you may be aware that all the people in the organizing team here are volunteers. That is, they've taken time out of their life to do a conference. And a bunch of them this year, for some reason, thought organizing the conference itself was too easy, so they should also have children. this is a history of LCA, so if you seem to want kids organized at Linux Conf, it works excellently for many people. We could probably prove that in studies. we back it with science. So you may have noticed Wellington has a lot of really good coffee.
Yeah?
And this made us worried. Our organizers will want a break now and go out into the countryside and peace and quiet away from people, and how would they have their espresso? So we found a solution that we'd give them as gifts, and we'll call them up here and give them a nice little gift that's wrapped, but also you can go, excellent. So I really want one, and so do all of you, but we do have some here for some couples, Suzanne and Andrew. Thank you very much. Glenn and Jane. Which we have to thank Glenn for being our inside man to organize this conspiracy. Andrew and Heather. Thank you very much. Rob, where are you? Excellent. Come up. Thank you very much. Brenda, are you here? She does have a six-week-old, and oh, putting a child in front of LCA.
Dum da dum da dum.
Excellent. Very much. And Francois.
Thank you so much, Stuart.
And we have one more thing. There's two people who put in a lot of effort into this. Suspended lives, moved house in the middle, because organising a conference and having a kid wasn't enough work. and that all happened. And so we do have something extra special. We thought you might want a bit of a break. Stand away. So I thought you might like to sit and look out at the beautiful view in New Zealand. So we have, when you want to take it, whenever it was, a weekend away.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Thank you so much.
A really nice one too. I'm quite envious. So you've deserved it more than deserved it.
Okay, because we're out of time pretty much, the speakers always chip in a little bit of money each, just a token, to buy something for the chief organizers. It's a tradition that goes back since Callow in 99. So I don't know if you guys noticed me sneaking around at the speakers' dinner, collecting from every single table on crutches. But for whatever reason, you got more money this year than normal years. this is a picture of the goblets that you will be receiving when they're engraved with thanks from the speakers. So imagine the goblets here. But also we know that you're saving up to build a house. So once we had that, we decided actually basically just to give you a giant novelty check of the rest of the money to go towards your house fund, basically. So imagine the giant novelty check.
What can we say? Thank you very much. It really is appreciated. We have had a ball organising the conference.
Yes. Yeah. Speechless, completely speechless. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you very much, everyone. It's great.
Now, just looking at the time, of course, we've got our penguin dinner tonight. Grand finale event. I would normally have said at this time, if we're on track, that you'd have half an hour to go home and freshen up, but you don't. So please just feel free to head on through to the town hall. There are a few things we need to set up, so just give us 5-10 minutes. But feel free to mill around. We will be opening the doors as soon as we're ready.
Open day.
Open day. Thank you, Glenn. Open day tomorrow from 11 till 2. Please be there. It's going to be absolutely amazing in every way. Jane and Glenn have been organising it, so that's enough to be said about how wonderful it's going to be. So we have stalls, makers, alley, Hackfest, talks, the works. So please come along. Free event. So we hope to see you there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.